Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I am your host, Laura Reeves, and I am super excited to finally get to talk with my dear friend, Dr. Marty Greer. We have been having a conversation this year for the last few months about neonates and baby puppies and all of the things, really deep diving into a lot of important topics. And I know we're a little bit late getting Marty to you this month, but I'm going to go with better late than never. And I'm super excited, Marty. Pure Dog Talk is proudly sponsored by Trupanion, medical insurance for the life of your pet. This year, give your buyers the gift of peace of mind with a special go-home day offer from Trupanion. This offer provides puppies with immediate coverage, so they're protected should they get into mischief in their new homes. Trupanion covers pets against unexpected accidents and illnesses with no payout limits, helping ease the financial burden when a pet gets sick or injured. Even better, Trupanion is able to pay the veterinarian directly at the time of checkout, which means less out-of-pocket for your buyers. You can get this special offer for your buyers as part of the Breeder Support Program. It's completely free to join and available for breeders in the US, Canada, and Australia. Getting started is quick and easy. Just follow the link on my partner page at puredogtalk.com to get started. So our last conversation, we got our puppies through the first 72 hours, which for me and my breed, as I was saying, that's basically once I get them to that point, I can go to the bathroom almost by myself, right? I'm not hysterical, right? I might bathe at that point. So
thank God.
Trust me. I've had litters where 72 hours without sleeping or bathing was a thing. So yeah. Talk us through what we're going to start thinking about now that we've got them to hopefully a plateau of relative safety. Let's talk about these next few days that we've got going.
Right. So we go from that 72-hour mark to about the two-week mark. And around the two-week mark, when they open their eyes and they open their ears, that's when a lot of other people tend to take that next deep breath.
Right.
Is they feel like they've kind of gotten to that hurdle. So I think that it depends on the breed. I think it depends on the litter. Not every litter is created equal. Not every bitch is created equal.
Yeah.
So there are definitely some times that even until you get to 14 days, you still feel like you're kind of have one foot on a banana peel. So it's scary.
Yeah.
So you want to continue your twice a day taking temperatures, twice a day weighing, twice a day checking urine color until you really feel like you've good solid footing. It's easy to assume that things are going well and then as it turns out, they aren't. So you want to be really careful with that. You want to watch the bitch really carefully to make sure she's eating, that she's drinking, that she's not running a fever.
Calcium. Talk us through, this is one we haven't really touched on. As a baby dog breeder growing up and up until probably the last 5 years, I never used calcium on my bitches. Like I had no idea.
Yeah.
This was a revelation to me when it was discovered in my world. So talk us through, I mean, for me, those first 72 hours of pushing calcium are really important. What's your recommendation about how long we continue that?
Well, for some bitches, you need to continue it until the puppies are weaned. Mm-hmm. It depends on the size of the bitch and the size of the litter. The smaller the bitch and the bigger the litter, the more you need calcium.
Okay.
It tends to be in small breed bitches that develop hypocalcemia, eclampsia, mm-hmm. that tends to be an issue. We don't see it in Labs, Goldens, Rottweilers, you know, the big dogs.
Right.
But in the little dogs, and, you know, I mean little dogs, usually under 10 or 15 pounds, Dachshunds, Terriers, some of those small breeds,
right.
We can see hypocalcemia. And in those cases, the bitch will start to run a low-grade fever. The first symptoms are going to be that she starts walking kind of goose-stepping, like real stiffly, associated with the calcium becoming too low and then her muscles developing this tetany. In cows that have low calcium. They become flaccid. They go down. Those are the down cows that are treated with IV calcium. Dogs are the opposite. They develop tetanic muscles. So the muscles get stiff, and then eventually the dog goes into something that looks like a seizure. And it's scary. Yeah. Now, in lower levels, you can see bitches that aren't good mothers, that are aggressive toward people, aggressive toward their puppies. That's one of the first signs, most commonly recognized in the Bull Terrier, but also seen in other breeds as well.
In many breeds, that I'm looking for it, I will say.
Right, right. But it was really only studied, I think, specifically in the Bull Terriers. So I think that's kind of interesting. But the small breeds can develop into it, like I said, almost a seizure type of activity. And I have a picture in the book of a dog that was being treated at our practice. The very first one of these that I ever saw, I was a baby vet. It was my first year out of school. I was at an emergency clinic. I was working with two other veterinarians who were both trained as board certified surgeons. I walked out into the lobby to see what was going on because we had a one exam room practice in an emergency clinic in Milwaukee. And I walked out into the lobby and everyone in the lobby looked at me and pointed at the dog under the chair that looked like she was having a seizure. And they all said, take her first. Now, that doesn't usually happen. Most of the time, the emergency clinic, people are elbowing their way to the front of the line because they feel like they have a priority and a need to be there. And I understand that and I don't disagree with them. They all feel like they have the most important thing. But in this particular case, everyone pointed to her and said, she's in trouble. And I looked over, and fortunately, she was laying on the floor facing me so that her mammary glands were evident. I scooped her up. I took her into the treatment area. I said to the two board-certified surgeons that I was working with, have you ever seen eclampsia? And both of them looked at me and said, nope, got no idea. I'm like, well, I hope that's what this is, because that's what we're doing. Yeah, we're going to treat with calcium, you know, because she was clearly nursing a litter of puppies. Mm-hmm. So the treatment is when you get to that point. Now, if you start it early and you can start to predict that something's not right, you can give the calcium gel, works faster than the oral tablets, works much better than Tums. I didn't even like Tums for this particular use. The gel works faster than the tablets, faster than that is injectable, but most people don't have the injectable calcium at home unless their vet or whelpwise provided that to them prior to the whelping. And that's a 10% solution that can work very safely, very effectively under the skin. But once you get to the point of that seizure type of activity, their temperature goes up to 106, they're seizing, they're alert. So it's not typically a true seizure, but they have this tetanic muscle activity that looks like a seizure. It's pretty scary. And the treatment is IV calcium given very slowly, very carefully, intravenously, because if you give it too aggressively and too quickly, then you stop the dog's heart. And then it's even worse. So
that's a problem.
It gets bad.
And are we going to start to see that in our toy breeds and our small breeds?
When they are maximally lactating. So when the puppies are growing at about that 2 to 3 week time period, when the puppies are really gaining fast, is when the demands of the calcium become the greatest on those small breed bitches. And they just don't have the ability to mobilize enough calcium from their bones. Their vitamin D levels are trying, but they just don't have the ability to mobilize calcium quickly enough. And this is why you don't want to give calcium prior to the time that the bitch goes into labor and has her puppies, is if you give it during the entire pregnancy, then you tell her parathyroid gland, you know what? You can just take a vacation. You don't have to worry about this. Just hang out. And then their calcium doesn't mobilize adequately. So you want them on a normal amount of calcium in their regular dog food. And then once they whelp, then that's when you can start adding the additional calcium in gel form, in tablet form, in powder form to the diet, along with the puppy food, to make sure she gets adequate amounts of calcium. So when I have a litter of my farm dogs and the bitch is 18 pounds and she's got 7 puppies, I'm giving her calcium. I typically don't with my corgis. I typically don't with large breed dogs. But when you have a small breed dog with a large litter, and maybe even a large breed dog with a large litter, I mean, if you have a Bernese Mountain dog with 15 puppies, you probably should kind of step it up a little.
I'm going to tell you. So, I mean, this is anecdotal, not, you know,
kind of
empirical, but again, I had never, ever dealt with it. And then working with the Spinoni, the co-breeder that I worked with the Spinoni, she was adamant about it. And whether it's because their personalities or what have you, it was shocking. And I do mean to tell you shocking, the difference between when the bitch had enough calcium and when the bitch did not have enough calcium from day one. And the last litter of wire-haired pointers that I actually raised here on my property, the bitch was, it was just a problem litter all the way along, but she was one that I actually supplemented calcium even on a wire-hair. Now, I mean, okay, there were 13 puppies.
It's a bunch.
She'd had some other stuff, but I mean, it was remarkable how quickly and how seamlessly the calcium brought them into this level of zen that mm-hmm. I expect to see in most of my bitches and mm-hmm. I was seeing in these dogs. And mm-hmm. just pushing calcium and mm-hmm. remind me from your perspective, because I can't remember what you've told me, you can't really OD them on calcium.
No. No. I mean, you can give too much vitamin D and cause a vitamin D toxicosis, but you really can't give too much calcium orally. The tablets, the powder, the gel, those are all going to be fine and safe because the GI tract is going to only absorb and the body's only going to take in so much. So right. you're okay to be pretty aggressive. Now, obviously, like I said, IV, you know, there's definitely some things that you have to be concerned about if you're giving it by injection. But if you're giving oral in the powder or the tablet form, you know, the Pet Cal or the Revival or the whatever product you want to use, you know, those are all absolutely fine to give. You have to really screw up to give too much. So I don't worry too much about that. But it does make a big difference. And you basically titrate it until you see the effect that you're looking for. And it's fascinating to see it. And we do have a lot of people that call and they're bitches aren't comfortable. They're not quiet. They're not calm. They're not lactating. They're not laying with the puppies.
Eyes spinning counterclockwise, yep. snappy at everything.
Yep.
And you push the calcium and they're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, oh, they had their nice little calcium high. That's good.
Yeah. You know, it's like you gave them a beer. Yeah. They just chill.
Yeah. It is truly remarkable to me. Okay, so what are some of the other things we're looking at after we've got them to the 72-hour plateau before we get them to the 14-day plateau?
Well, this is where you want to start your early neurological stimulation.
Yep.
And, you know, Dr. Battaglia has talked about it a lot. I don't know how much science we actually have behind it. I'm seeing there's some disagreement, but it's never going to hurt anything to handle your puppies a lot. It's never going to hurt anything to mess with them, keep an eye on them. So I never hesitate to do it. And I don't think there's anybody that's going to talk me out of thinking that it's a really good idea. And some people, instead of just the five steps, which are head up, head down, on a cold, wet towel, on their back, and tickle the bottom of their foot, some people are also adding scent work. So it's kind of interesting to introduce them to new scents.
The early scent introduction, I did that with this last couple litters, actually. It was really mm-hmm. interesting. Really, mm-hmm. really interesting to watch the ones that responded and who didn't and what they responded to. It was, I really liked it. And that was a Gail Watkins thing, actually, that I picked up from
right.
Gail. And I really loved it. I thought it was very cool.
Yeah, and you can buy a kit on Etsy, but I'm like, really? Just go to your kitchen.
Go pick a flower.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, that's what I do.
Well, you know, in Wisconsin, there's no flowers in January, but go to your kitchen. You've got cinnamon, you've got nutmeg, you've got lemon, you've got all kinds of scents. Just open your kitchen cabinets. Don't do anything toxic, of course. Don't do acetone.
And I was really cautious with this last time because I had some essential oils. And I know there's some issues with that. So I was really careful, like, don't touch it, you know.
Right.
Talk to us a little bit about what we need to be aware of with essential oils if we're doing early scent introduction.
Just be making sure that you're using really small doses. We have clients that use essential oils sometimes on their dogs, sometimes on themselves. Mm-hmm. And I can walk into the exam room and go, whoa, like, what? Like, are you using this on yourself or the dog? And many times it's on themselves. And I understand there are people that use those and they have good effects from them. But just be aware that your dog has probably 10,000 times the ability to do scenting that you can. So be very gentle about it. I know Ann Bowes has spoken for a long time about when the puppy's eyes first start to open, when their ears start to open. Have gentle lighting, have gentle sounds. The same with the scents. Be gentle about it. Don't do anything that's like harsh in your face. It can be really rough on those puppies. So be thoughtful, be kind, but it does make a big difference to introduce some of those things. So those are kind of fun things. Of course, you want to make sure the puppy's continuing to get stimulated to eliminate both urine and stool. Some bitches are really good at it. Some bitches are like, ew, it's icky. And so you want to make sure that that's happening. And if you have a problem with diarrhea or with constipation, that you're paying attention to that and that you address it, because either of those can be pretty devastating to a young puppy. So be sure that that's happening. Be sure that they're continuing to gain weight. I know this seems really obvious. And I can show a video of sick puppies and healthy puppies in the same litter to the old lady in the poodle club in Milwaukee, and they'll nail which ones are sick and which ones aren't. But I also have people that have absolutely no ability to pick up on those things. So I think it's always a good idea for you to have some nice parameters to measure and keep track of those things so that if you do have a puppy that's not doing well, you can call the veterinary clinic. You can say the rest of the puppies have gained, you know, 30% of their body weight or 50%. And I have this one that's not gaining. I think there's something wrong. So, you know, just have that data at your fingertips so that you don't sound like the crazy person when you call there and ask for help, that you actually have some information in front of you, because you're going to come off as being a much more credible breeder that has information in front of them. So you're going to get the attention of the receptionists, the vet techs, and the veterinarians much more quickly if you're collecting that kind of information. The other thing that you want to watch really closely is the eyelids. And a lot of puppies will get infections behind the eyelids, particularly if the bitch has metritis or mastitis. The literature says that it happens in unsanitary conditions. And so far, the only times I've ever seen it has been a bitch that's sick. But usually the puppies are in a household where you could probably eat off the floor. So these are not unsanitary conditions. This is typically something that's related to the bitch not having normal bacterial things going on.
We had it one time when I was a kid with a wire hair bitch that decided to take herself swimming in the pond.
Yeah.
And came back and, you know, fed the puppies and whatever. And the next day I'm like, ah! And of course it happened to me when I was home alone with the puppies.
Right.
Puppy's got a great big giant eyeball with green goo coming out. And I'm like, this is wrong. This is definitely wrong.
Right. And the veterinary ophthalmologists have made it clear to me that when I speak to people, I need to tell them this is a medical emergency. You need to get the eyelids open immediately. You need to get them started on oral and topical antibiotics, or you will lose the eye. I've had one puppy that was blind in both eyes that didn't open her eyes on a normal time frame. And by the time we had the client call us and come in, the puppy ended up blind. So it can be really very devastating. So be aware that if you see any bulging at all, that you need to put warm compresses on. And if you can't get the eyelids to open up, take them to your vet, go to the emergency clinic, do whatever you need to do to get those up. And I've opened them for other veterinarians because they've been reluctant to do it on their own puppies because it is kind of icky. But it is shocking how much pus can come up from behind the eyelids. And if you see it in one puppy in the litter, we open the eyelids on everybody, because frequently we will find several other puppies that are in the earlier stages, and you will not cause harm to the puppy's vision by prematurely opening the eyelids. Get the eyelids open, get the puppy on appropriate topical and oral antibiotics, and do not wait. This is truly a medical emergency. And, you know, ophthalmologists always, they're kind of an interesting group. They say, you know, the rest of the body is just there to carry the eyeballs around. It's really not anything else that it's there for. The brain, you know, the eyes are the window to the brain, and the rest of the body is just for the eyes.
Right.
But in this particular case, they're not joking, because it is quite serious. Also, at this point, if you haven't done tails and or dew claws, and that's something that needs to be done in your breed, that needs to happen by the third to fifth day, if it's appropriate. Now, I have pushed puppies out to as far as almost 14 days if they are not thriving, not gaining. I put local block in. I put glucose in the puppy orally. I put in a local block. And the puppies are still okay to do that. Once their eyes are open, it's game over. You got to wait until they're old enough to anesthetize.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, again, we're anecdotal, but I had to do that with that litter that I had several that were failing to thrive. It was just a struggle. The whole litter was a struggle. It was the pandemic. It was, you know, all the things.
Oh, yeah.
And I finally got everybody over a pound, which was when my vet agreed to do the tails. And they were like 8 or 9 days old. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't think I'd do it again. I really don't. I would have waited and just done everybody as adults. I just, holy crap. That was bad.
Yeah. Well, and I've got corgis. And so when we do something that's that short, it's even harder on them. So if you've got puppies that are failing to thrive, I'm really reluctant to do tails. In fact, my son has a corgi that's 15 years old. He still has his tail because he just never was healthy enough to take the tail off when he was young. And, you know, he wasn't going to be a show dog. And so people don't know if he's a Pembroke or a Cardigan, because the only difference most people know about corgis is that one has a tail and one doesn't. They all want to know if that's a Welsh corgi. I'm like, they're all Welsh corgis. Cardigans are different than Pembrokes. Right. It's not just about the tail. It's the ears. It's the head. It's the legs.
The front.
It's a little bit. They're a different breed. But that's another story. But you can do it later if it's appropriate, if it's necessary. And by day 14, if you haven't had the bitch on fenbendazole, Panacure, Safeguard, whatever product you want to call it, then we start the deworming process at 14 days. So those are some of the things that you really need to be aware of in that time period. Is most of the time, all you're doing between day 3, 72 hours, and day 14 is just growing them up a bit until they start to open their eyes and ears, but never lose track of their development, never lose track of their eliminations, their character of their urine should still be pale yellow, their stool should be yellow, seedy, and soft, but not hard. And if it gets pasty or hard and you need to do an enema or give Karo syrup, you can do that if they have diarrhea. I treat diarrhea in my young puppies with real kaolin and pectin, not the human kaopectate, which is the same thing as Pepto-Bismol. It metabolizes into aspirin in the GI tract, so you don't want to use that. You can use baby rice cereal and yogurt. You can use probiotics. There are some nice probiotics on the market. Nurture Flora is the one that Revival just came out with that's made for itty-bitty babies. It's in kind of a molasses base that you just put a little dab on the roof of their mouth, and it's appropriate for puppies that are very, very young. So if you have diarrhea, those are the things to do, both for the bitch and for the puppies, is you don't want to be using metronidazole. You don't want to go crazy on this stuff. Maybe. So be thoughtful, because remember, anything you put into the bitch at this point may go into the milk, at least in a small amount. Now, if she's on amoxicillin for an infection like mastitis, the puppies will not get enough antibiotic to be therapeutic. But things like metronidazole can cross into the blood-brain barrier through the milk, and so we're just really careful with a lot of drugs until the puppies are weaned. So be thoughtful about what you're putting into the mom, because what goes into mom goes into babies.
Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute. All right, crew, check it. The results are in, and 96 of the 100 top all-breed show dogs in 2023... are fed ProPlan. The high-performance food is made with 30% protein and 20% fat to fuel the metabolic needs of an active, keenly motivated show dog while maintaining lean muscle. The owners and handlers of these top champions choose to feed ProPlan because it delivers concentrated nutrition to optimize oxygen metabolism for increased endurance, a pivotal part of campaigning a show dog. ProPlan promotes nutrition for joint health and mobility and for healthy skin and coat. The ease of feeding one of the ProPlan All Life Stages formulas that provide complete and balanced nutrition for puppies to senior dogs is an added bonus. Try ProPlan and see why more owners and handlers of top show dogs choose it. Visit purina.com/ProPlan/dogs to learn more about the number one dog food of show dog owners and handlers in 2023. All right, guys, whether you're a first-time breeder or a seasoned veteran, it's not just a litter. It's your legacy. Each puppy represents your hard work, your dedication, and it shows your commitment to the next generation. Revival is honored to support you every step of the way. You can find everything you need to support your litters and the health of your dams and sires with Breeders' Edge, Revival's premium line of reproductive and neonatal health products. Breeders' Edge was actually developed with the help of our very own Dr. Marty Greer, Revival's Director of Veterinary Services, and a leading expert in canine reproduction and neonatal care. Breeders also rely on Revival, the pet vaccine experts, for vaccine selection and safe shipping to give their litters the protection they need. Revival's online pharmacy serves breeders with a wide variety of prescription medications, plus a knowledgeable staff that's always ready to answer any questions. Grow your own healthy legacy with help from Revival Animal Health. And check this out, one time only, $15 off your order of $99 or more by using the code PODCAST15. You can use this code by calling 800-786-4751 or stopping by www.revivalanimal.com. And on that, and I want to have your feedback on this one, I had another one of my Auntie Laura's medical mystery disaster litters. I had a bitch that ate a toy and had to have a C-section and a surgical blockage surgery the same day. And anyway, it was a nightmare. I had a lot of the puppies in that litter because I was bottle feeding them. She never was able to nurse them, that were super gassy. And I wound up using Gas-X, like the Gas-X for my dogs that bloat. And I just cut it and put a drop of the simethicone on their tongue.
Right.
It's amazing. Like, oh, look at them.
Well, and you can buy infant drops for human babies. There's a product called Infant Drops that are sold over the counter. It's simethicone in a liquid form. It gives you a little more control over how much you're giving. It's the same active ingredient. It's just it comes for little babies, so it's easy to do. If they have stuffy noses, you can use little noses, the nose drops. You can run a nebulizer. Kent Sundin at Puppy Warmer has a fabulous nebulizer that you can nebulize with just saline, or you can add an antibiotic to it if you have puppies that have nasal congestion or upper respiratory. So there's lots of things that you can do for these guys. And I think we talked about if we do need to use an antibiotic, and it's not appropriate to put every bitch and every puppy on an antibiotic, but if you have sick puppies and you need an antibiotic, I typically will give the amoxicillin and the Clavamox, those type of water-soluble antibiotics, 3 times a day instead of twice. And puppies do actually absorb some injectable antibiotics better than they do oral, like adults, but it should be given subcutaneously and not into the muscle, regardless of what the label says on the product, because puppies don't absorb drugs well from their muscle. They don't have a lot of blood flow to their muscles. It's actually picked up better as a sub-Q injection. Now, there is the long-acting 2-week Convenia injection of antibiotics. We have absolutely no data on the use of that in newborn puppies, so I typically will use Clavamox, amoxicillin, azithromycin, maybe Nexel, which is a large animal cephalexin antibiotic as an injection. So there's things that we can give to these guys, but there's things you absolutely should not give. Things like genomycin, those are really toxic to the kidneys. The sulfas I don't give until they're a little bit older because, again, toxicity of the kidneys. So you have to be thoughtful and careful about what you're administering to these little guys. So make sure that you're talking to your veterinary professionals about this. You're not just randomly picking something off the shelf that you have in your kennel because it's not always safe. So be careful, be thoughtful about what you're using. And then umbilical cord care, I don't know if we really spent enough time on that.
No, but a good one for this, like, at the 72-hour mark as they're going forward. Yeah.
By this point, the cord should be falling off, but if it still looks like it's there, it's infected, there's inflammation, make sure that you're dipping the cord appropriately with tincture of iodine. Make sure you've got the puppy on an oral antibiotic because that can very quickly get your puppy into trouble. So there's quite a few things that you can do with these little guys. I have a list of products, a list of treatments that we do that's called Treat for the Treatable. And essentially, it's sort of a shotgun approach to how you go about treating these guys. And we've covered some of them. We probably need to cover it in a little bit more specific detail of the list of the 10 things that you can reach for while you're waiting for the puppy to respond to medication, while you're waiting for diagnostics like blood work, ultrasound, x-rays. And I know we've talked about before that if you do have a sick puppy, you can go to the vet and they can do the same thing with your little dog that you do with big dogs. They're just little dogs. So you can ultrasound puppies very effectively. It's a great tool. X-rays are a little harder because they don't have much body fat. But if you do have to go in with a puppy, make sure you take a normal littermate along with them so that if they are like, well, I don't know if this looks normal or not, they can throw the ultrasound probe on, they can put the puppy on the X-ray, and they can compare the sick puppy to the healthy puppy, the same with lab work. If they're like, well, I'm not sure if the BUN should be here, or the glucose should be there, take a normal looking puppy along with the sick one. Don't just take the sick one because your vet may not have the information on how that puppy should be looking at that point unless you have that other puppy as a benchmark. So at least take one additional puppy, if not the whole litter. Now, if you have 2 puppies in the litter, well, that's easy. You have to take the whole litter. But those are some of the things to be thinking about. At this point, body temperature is starting to slowly come up. It starts between 96 and 98 degrees in the first 24 hours. It comes up to 98 by the 72-hour mark. And then it should come up 1 degree a week. As the puppy gets closer to 6 weeks of age, it goes from 98 to 99 to 100 to 101. That's all normal. At the same time that that temperature is coming up 1 degree a week, you can drop the temperature where the puppies are by about 5 degrees a week. So that the puppy's better able to regulate their temperature. So those two things start to normalize. You get to a normal rectal temperature and you get to a normal room temperature. So those are easy things to monitor. And of course, the puppies by 2 weeks of age, many of them are starting to get up and walk around, even if they can't see where they're going, yes. Which is kind
our
of funny.
Our hairs are out of the box. We can't see where we're going, but we're going.
That's right. That's right. We're on the Dora the Explorer adventure.
Oh my God. Why are her pointers? God, I love them. Whew. So talk a little bit. Not everybody has tail docs. Everybody has umbilical cords, but tail doc care. I love me some Chlorhex. What's your thought on that?
I think chlorhexidine is great. You want to keep it clean and dry. It's a great product and it doesn't taste real good. So that typically will keep the bitch from wanting to lick it. If you've ever gotten chlorhexidine in your mouth, I will tell you it kind of numbs your tongue and it tastes really wicked. So I do it regularly, unfortunately, because I stick things in my mouth that I shouldn't, like syringe caps and da 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 da. It's wicked, nasty stuff. So it's a good way for the bitch to be discouraged.
I have been boggled over the course of years, and I can't even remember which one of my old veterinarians taught me Chlorhex for C-section incisions and tail docs as the absolute, like, they heal so fast and so clean, and I never had any problems, and I have gallons of it.
Yeah, we went to school in Iowa, and Fort Dodge, Iowa was where all this product was made. So we toured the Fort Dodge factory when we were vet students, and they gave us all the studies on it, and that chlorhexidine will continue killing bacteria on the surface of the skin for hours after it's been used. Yes. So it's a very effective product. I use it in my whelping box. I use it in my cages. I like it much better than the quaternary ammonias. I like it much better than most of the other disinfectants. It doesn't make me cough. It's a wonderful product. Works really well. So I cannot argue with that. It comes as a shampoo. It comes as a solution. It comes as a detergent. It's great stuff. It comes as an oral rinse. It's
I just buy it and dilute it for everything.
Works really well. So we've got lots of good stuff.
Anything else we need to know in our closing minutes for that span from 3 days to 14 days?
Anything really, probably the most common thing that we see is diarrhea. And if the bitch doesn't have it, the puppies will. If the puppies don't have it, you probably will. Somebody's going to have diarrhea. So I frequently send home some kind of kaolin and pectin product. I use the large animal stuff. I don't use the human kaopectate. Like I said, it metabolizes into aspirin, and that's dangerous. So I use a lot of it. You can buy it in the gallons. And honestly, it's made out of basically clay. So it may have an expiration date on the label. I tend to follow expiration dates on most things like antibiotics and vaccines, but it's clay. It was laid down when the glacier moved across the earth 5,000 years ago. So it's going to last forever.
It'll be okay.
If you buy a gallon of it, just shake it really well. Make sure that you've got access to it. And it is the bomb when you're trying to treat. That and some rice and some yogurt or some kind of a probiotic are really the things to rely on. But of all the things we see.
My go-to. Here's my pitch for Fortiflora. Like, I can't live without it.
Yeah, the probiotics are great. They're wonderful. But of all the things we see, I think diarrhea is probably the most common. I think everything at some point has diarrhea. Yeah. So I don't get alarmed about it. I just roll with it and manage it. So it's just something to be prepared for. This is the thing that you need is you just have a list of the stuff you should have at home. And that's one of them. And just buy a gallon. Go to the farm store, go to Tractor Supply,
go to Sleep Farm. Your shelf, kids.
Go to Revival. Yeah, you know, it just sits on the shelf with the other shampoos.
Revival sells it, right? So you guys can go to the Pure Dog Talk website, go to the Revival, go to the partners page, go to Revival, click. They've got some kind of a 10% off discount or something. It'll be great.
Yeah, they've always got something.
That's what I do. That's what I do.
They've always got something going. So there's a lot of great products out there. But the most important thing is, Ken Sundin at Puppy Warmer says, planners save puppies. And I can't emphasize that enough, is get your act together, have your stuff. I keep all mine in an ice chest so I'm ready to go if I need it. I mean, I have access to the veterinary clinic. I still keep my stuff ready to go. Because the last thing you want to do is be digging through when your vet is on the phone with you saying, well, what do you have at home? I can hear things flying out of the cabinets and the refrigerator. I'm like, oh, please.
Welcome
so
to
just
my world.
Be prepared. Yeah. Be prepared for this stuff because you know something is going to happen. You had 63 days to prepare for the pregnancy. So act like you knew this was happening. Your vet will appreciate it. Put gas in your car, have your cell phone charged, and have your list of stuff together.
Oh my God. That's awesome. All right. Well, Marty, it is so good to talk to you. Had a great time in Scotland. P.S. Just going to tell you guys, it was a ball.
Yep.
And I look forward to talking to you next month, and we'll have some more deep dive on the baby puppy thing. All right.
Oh, yeah. More babies. Right. Love
more
it.
More babies. All right. Well, you take a deep breath because I know you got a big month coming. So,
indeed.
All right, crew. I hear from folks pretty much daily asking for a specific topic or for a series of podcasts on a topic. So ask and you shall receive. I've done all the hard work. I've sorted, searched, and compiled 8 different albums from the archives on our most popular topics. And when I say there's a podcast for that, I ain't just a woofin'. Getting yours today is super simple. Just jump on puredogtalk.com/store and click the PDT albums image. And when you're in there, you're going to find a collection of veterinary voices. You're going to find a collection for breeding and whelping hands-on. You'll find Pure Dog Talk University on dog breeding. Love the breeds. Up your game. Owner handlers, the interviews, events and sports. There is so much there. And once you're in those links, you'll be able to read the details of the topic. For a special introductory price of $1.99, you get a link to dozens, up to more than 100 episodes on these specific topics. And while you're there, if you or a friend or family member are just getting started, even just starting a search for your first well-bred purebred dog, you can also check out Auntie Laura's Beginner's Guide to Show Dogs at puredogtalk.com/book to get the foundational Pure Dog Talk episodes with bonus tracks. So hop on it, y'all. These special prices will not last. As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.